Hey, church, so good to see you. So great to be able to worship together with you today. I want to jump right into our second sermon in this series called Wholehearted. If you remember, we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, and we are looking at the life of King Amaziah, and he did some very peculiar things. Remember last week we talked about how the Bible actually described him as a man who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly, right? And so what we talked last week about what it means to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. Today, what we're gonna look at are some of the consequences that happen when we do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. And so I wanna just jump right into that today. So again, we're gonna be in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We're gonna be starting in verse 5 here in just a moment, but let me pray for us as we get started here first. Lord God, thank you so much for the opportunity to dive into your word here today. God, we thank you so much for the way that you were at work in the life of King Amaziah. And we thank you, Lord, that you are at work in our lives even now. Help us, God, that we would hear from you. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone. God, that your message would be proclaimed even now. And Lord, that you would help us not just to hear your word today, but to do your word each and every day of our lives. God, may you be glorified in all things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So again, 2 Chronicles chapter 25. I want to start out reading for you verses 5 through 9. And it says, Amaziah called the people of Judah together. Again, realize he is the king of Judah. So we have the divided kingdom of Israel now, right? And so Israel is all the northern kingdoms, is the northern kingdom. But Judah is that one tribe. And actually, Benjamin is kind of part of it as well, that kind of split off. And so they are the southern kingdom. So King Amaziah is the king of Judah. And again, verse 5 says, Amaziah called the people of Judah together and assigned them according to their families to commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds for all Judah and Benjamin. He then mustered those 20 years old or more and found that there were 300,000 men fit for military service, able to handle the spear and shield. He also hired 100,000 fighting men from Israel for 100 talents of silver. Verse 7, but a man of God came to him and said, Your Majesty, these troops from Israel must not march with you, for the Lord is not with Israel. Remember, that's the northern kingdom. Not with any of the people of Ephraim, which is, again, part of the northern people. Even if you go and fight courageously in battle, God will overthrow you before the enemy, and for God has the power to help or to overthrow. I don't even have time to get into that right now. Verse 9, Amaziah asked the man of God, but what about the 100 talents I paid for the Israelite troops? See, one of the things that King Amaziah here learned real fast is that by not following God wholeheartedly, it cost him some money, right? Like he had decided that, okay, we're going to go to war against Edom. I'll get to that here in just a moment. We're going to go to war against Edom, and I've got these 300,000 soldiers. Like, how many soldiers do you really need, right? But he wants to make sure that he's going to win, so he hires these 100,000 soldiers from Israel, who you can kind of see is they're not exactly really friendly with each other here. We're going to cover that in a couple of weeks here, but again, so you have all these troops, but then he hires these other troops in before this man of God comes to him and says, hey, this doesn't have anything to do with God. Like, Like you may be walking in the laws of God's word, but you're not doing it wholeheartedly. Like you're not actually seeking the direction of God here. Like you might do what is right in the eyes of God, but this is not how a wholehearted person after God would go. And notice here, like the first thing that Amaziah says was like, I just paid out all this money. Like, what am I supposed to do with these people if I got all this money already tied up in them and everything? Now, what's interesting here is that, and the way that we really need to connect this to our lives today is that God is not interested in our plans, right? If we are walking in the ways of the Lord but not wholeheartedly, we are going to find that our plans continue to not work out, right? Because again, remember from last week, Amaziah's big deal here, the real tension is that instead of following God wholeheartedly, what he did was he sought to control his own life, to control his own kingdom. We see this once again, like he had plenty of troops and he had God on his side. Like he didn't have to go hire these 100,000 troops from Israel, yet in his control, and because he was not serving God wholeheartedly, he went and did this outside of the spiritual advice that prophets might provide for him. See, church, the truth of the matter is that when we aren't serving God wholeheartedly, we're going to try to accomplish our plans. We're going to try to do things our way. We're going to try to accomplish our goals. We're going to try to do our will and our way and our purposes, all those kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is like God did not send Jesus to die on a cross to accomplish our plans. He didn't. The blood of Jesus was not shed to accomplish our will. No, the reason why Jesus died on a cross is so that we could submit our plans to his plans and our will to his will and our what we thought was our purpose to his purposes for our lives. Like for example, I know when I was in high school, I had decided that I was going to be a middle school math teacher. And I had the college picked out. I knew where I was going to go. I was going to, like I said, not just a math teacher, but a middle school math teacher. And I found a program that specifically like gave certification for that, those middle school years and everything. Man, I was psyched up for this and everything. And that's what I wanted to do. That is until I had a conversation with a youth leader of mine who took me out for pizza and said, "Hey, have you ever thought about like ministry at all?" And my very first thought was, no, that's ridiculous. Like, who would do that? Not me, right? And I had never even considered that as a possibility. But as we can see here today, I was able to find a way to surrender my plans in order to live in the plans of God. Now, because I let my plans win for a little while, my freshman year of college, I was in a different place. By the time that I actually submitted myself to God's will for my life, like it was too late for me to transfer. And while God was certainly able to work in my life in my freshman year at this other school, it wasn't until my sophomore year that I really transferred to Asbury Bible College, which really prepared me for ministry, really prepared me for teaching the Bible and those kinds of things. But I missed out. They cost me something because of my delayed obedience there. It cost me something because even though I was walking in the ways of the Lord, I wasn't doing so wholeheartedly. See, God is not interested in making our plans come to pass. He's interested in seeing his plans come to pass in our lives. So we've got to make sure that we are following him wholeheartedly in order that we might see the plans of God accomplished in our lives. Let me keep going here. Verses 10 through 13. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And it says, so the end of verse 9, I didn't actually read that. The man of God looks back at King Amaziah, who just said, well, but what do I do with all this money that I gave out? And it says, the man of God replied, the Lord can give you much more than that. And that is so true. Like what you give up in your plans, you will get back so much more when you submit wholeheartedly to the plans of God. But we've got to be willing to let go in order to take on everything that he has for us. Verse 10, so Amaziah dismissed the troops.
doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. That's a good thing, right? So Amaziah dismissed the troops who came to him from Ephraim and sent them home. They were furious with Judah and left for home in a great rage. Amaziah then marshaled his strength and led his army to the Valley of Salt, where he killed 10,000 men of Seir. Those are Edomites. We'll get to that here in just a moment. The army of Judah also captured 10,000 men alive, took them to the top of a cliff, and threw them down so that they were all dashed to pieces. I don't know if that's a God thing or not, but you can pray on that one on your own. Verse 13, meanwhile, the troops that Amaziah had sent back had not allowed to take part in the war, raided towns belonging to Judah from Samaria to Beth Horon. They killed 3,000 people and carried off great quantities of plunder. Here's what I want you to see here. Even though Amaziah was able to walk into this great victory, right? He sent the people back. That was walking in the ways of the Lord. And that's great. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't take the Israelite troops in with him. That's great and everything. However, he wasn't following wholeheartedly. And so even though Amaziah found victory against the Edomites, the people that he sent back, because of his lack of wholehearted faith before, actually impacted the people of his kingdom. Now, I want you to get this here. Because Amaziah did not follow God wholeheartedly, it impacted other people. Church, we need to recognize here that our decisions are not just about us. There is no decision that we make in any given day that is ever just about us. The decisions that we make absolutely impact the people around us. And the decision that we make, either to follow God wholeheartedly or not, will actually impact the people around us. I remember when I was, not long after I'd first gotten to the Houston area, I was working as an interim pastor for the Sugar Land Church of God. And while I was there, I had the tremendous opportunity to baptize this one girl that was there, who was about 11 or 12 at the time. And it was incredible. But one of the things that really hit me in that moment was that I was there because I decided to say yes to the Lord. All right, watch this now. I mentioned to you earlier about the guy who took me out for pizza and asked me about ministry, right? Now watch this. He decided to take me out and to ask me if I'd ever entertained the idea of ministry. Because of how God was working through his wholehearted submission to Jesus, I was able to not only receive that, but actually walk into the plans that God had for my life. But not only that, there was another pastor that actually gave me an opportunity to preach for the very first time. There was another pastor that actually led me and gave me an example of what it looked like to be a pastor and to be a preacher. And so fast forward now, I've gone through ministry in Kentucky, and Beth and I moved to Texas, and we were interim pastors in Sugar Land. And I remember there was a time where there was a young lady who was there that I was baptizing, and it dawned on me as I was baptizing her that it was because of the decisions of people that invested into me that I was able to be there baptizing her, investing into her life and investing into her family. See, the decisions that we make absolutely directly impact the people that are all around us. And let's be honest, it's not just for the good, but it's also in some negative ways too. Like, I'm pretty sure each and every one of you can think back to some negative things that you've either done or said, or maybe habits you've had or something like that. And you can kind of trace them back to a relationship. You can trace them back to an environment you were in. You can trace them back to somebody you knew that you know you shouldn't have been hanging around that person. You know you shouldn't have been in that place. You know you shouldn't have been doing those things. But because you were in those places and around those people, that impacted how you did things. And guess what? It impacted what you showed other people was acceptable as well. It goes both positive and negative here. But the truth of the matter is that the the people around us will be impacted by the decisions that we make. So if we do not wholeheartedly choose to follow Jesus with our lives, that's going to impact other people as well. They're going to see, they're going to learn that maybe I don't have to follow Jesus with everything. Maybe I could just give them a little bit and it's okay. They're going to learn whether it's what it means to be a disciple. They're going to learn what it means to be a Jesus follower. They're going to learn it from you, from us, from each and every one of us. So we've got to ask ourselves, like, what do we want people to learn from us in terms of what it looks like to be a Jesus follower, what it means to be a disciple who makes disciples? We are the ones who are defining that for the people around us. King Amaziah made some choices, and it ended up impacting his people even as he was in the midst of his own personal victory. Our victories are great. But if we are negatively impacting people around us, then that's not accomplishing the will of God, the full will of God that we can. But when we serve God wholeheartedly, we will experience that victory, and we will see the victory in people around us as well, right? There is a win-win here. We don't have to choose either way. We can have a positive impact in the people that are around us. Let me take you on to this last part here. 2 Chronicles 25, verses 14 and 15. It says, when Amaziah returned from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought back the gods of the people of Seir. He set them up as his own gods, bowed down to them, and burned sacrifices to them. The anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent a prophet to him who said, why do you consult the people's gods, which could not save their own people from your hands? See, church, what I want us to recognize is that when we choose not to follow God wholeheartedly, it will cost us our faith. Now watch this. Let me say it this way. When Amaziah chose not to follow God wholeheartedly, it cost him his faith. Let me show you what I mean here. So, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. So there were things that he did that were in line with the law, but he didn't actually follow God because he wanted to. It's because it worked to his advantage, to his control, right? And so even in battle, that kind of worked itself out as well, because that had an impact on his people that he wasn't expecting here. Here, as soon as Amaziah had an opportunity to gain control in another way, in other words, he in his mind assumed that if he would worship this other God, there's another level of control that he could have over his kingdom and over his reign, over his people, over what he wanted to accomplish, right? And so when that opportunity came available for him to worship these gods and to gain more control for himself, he set his faith in God aside, the God who says that I am a jealous God, and that if you will worship me, you will not worship any other gods. You will not kneel before any other cast idols, right? Like, that is the God that he was following. But he set that aside in order to try to gain more control for himself. He set aside his faith because he wasn't serving God wholeheartedly. See, church, the danger that we have in not serving God wholeheartedly is that one of these days we're going to come, we're going to find ourselves in a similar place where we are given the opportunity to gain more control for ourselves, for our plans, for our will, for what we want to accomplish. And if we are not serving God wholeheartedly, it will be all too easy for us to set aside what we were doing, the ways that we are walking in the Lord, and to be able to pick up this other thing that we think might give us more control. Church, we've got to make sure that we are being intentional about not just seeking control for ourselves, but of actually submitting ourselves wholeheartedly to the life that God is calling us to be a part of. As we are watching this today, I don't think anybody would say, oh yeah, I want to set aside everything that I've got with God. I just want to deny all of that, and I'm just going to go do my own thing. Nobody in their right mind would say that, but the truth of the matter is that sometimes we will find ourselves in positions where that is exactly the choice that we are making. Church, I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to really think about how wholeheartedly you are following after God, how wholeheartedly actively you are serving God and seeking His ways. Are there things inside of you that still feel that tension back and forth, that you do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly? There's that but, there's that other thing, there's that other way, there's that control that you're trying to hold on to for yourself. Church, we have to recognize that if we don't serve God wholeheartedly, it's going to impact other people. It's going to impact our plans. Like even the plans that we have for ourselves are not going to be accomplished. Like the success that we would desire for our lives, like we are not going to see the success that God desires for us until we seek after Him wholeheartedly. It's going to cost you your plans. It's going to cost you your will. It's going to cost you your way. But I promise you, that God is able to give you so much more in your life when you submit to Him. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross that we might submit our lives to God through a relationship with Jesus, by recognizing that we are sinners and He is our Savior. And by confessing that He's the one, right? When we submit ourselves to a life with Jesus, then we're saying, you know what? As great as our plans might have sounded, if that's not God, then that's not where I want to be. See, that's what it sounds like to follow God wholeheartedly. We are not just a group of people that just goes through the rules and checks off the boxes of, oh, I read my Bible and, oh, I prayed today. Like, that's great that you're doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord. But we've got to make sure that we're actually submitting to His will, to His way, to His plans, so that it doesn't cost us our lives, but rather brings fruit, brings joy, brings peace, brings excitement, brings life, brings abundant life. That is why Jesus is here, and that is what we get to receive from Him. How wholeheartedly are you seeking after Him today? Where is it that you are holding back? And how is it that you're going to come against that? Let me invite you, even right now, to pray. Just pray that, God, you know where I'm seeking to control my own life. Lord, help me to submit my control to you. Help me to submit my plans to you. Help me to submit the people around me to you. Because I want you to have your way, your will, your purpose. God, I want to wholeheartedly seek after you. Have your way even now. Pray with me. Lord God, I do thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Father, that it is possible for us to serve you wholeheartedly. I thank you, Lord, that it's possible for us to lay down our plans and take on yours. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that you would help us to actually let go of everything that we might want to control in order that we might let you have total and complete control. God, we know that our best life, our fulfilled life, our joyful and peaceful life doesn't come through our control, but only comes as we submit to a life with Jesus. Help us, Father, that we would submit to the leading of your Holy Spirit even now. Lead us, Father, that we might live wholehearted lives for you, for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.